I'm reading from James 5. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
Good morning. Welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. We've got several folks visiting. We're just proud to have you with us on this beautiful December Sunday morning. And the weather is fantastic, and Christmas times are coming. Just a couple more Sundays, and Christmas will be here. Hard to believe. I know some young people that are excited about that. Always a fun time. Today, after our morning assembly, we'll be making Christmas baskets over in the fellowship hall, and you're welcome to join us. There'll be fudge and cookies and chocolate-covered pretzels and all kinds of good things that the young folks and all of us working together will make, and we'll fix some baskets and deliver those. So if you don't have plans, feel free to join us for that. All of us are welcome, especially our young people. Stay, and we'll spend some time together and have fun, and maybe brighten some other folks' day with some good food and a little shared time. We're going to talk this morning about prayer and faith for a little bit, because that has been a discussion in our culture this week. It has been part of the news and part of the political debate this week. Josh keeps me informed and sent me an email, and I followed through on that. Then it's been kind of across the news. As always, I'm going to stay out of the political debate, but I'm going to talk about how it impacts us as Christians and what maybe some things we ought to do and things to think about introspectively as well. As we talk about prayer and God, one of the headlines in one of the New York papers talking about the San Bernardino terrorist attack was, God ain't fixing this. And that kind of sparked a lot of discussion. So I think it's appropriate for us to talk about that and our impact in the culture and what the Bible actually says. What Carl read for us was a tremendous passage from James, the brother of Jesus, that is part of our New Testament, that says that prayer from righteous people, from righteous men, is powerful and effective, that it changes people to the point that it brings healing to those who are sick, and it brings forgiveness of sins for those who are sinners. And I'm going to be honest with you, probably physically you think, well, healing is a bigger deal. But I tell you, forgiveness of sins is a bigger deal than physical healing. And that's a little hard sometimes for us to grasp in our physical world. But certainly, as ravaging as sickness and disease can be, nowhere near as ravaging as sin can be in our lives and certainly to us spiritually. But James is saying, if you are in trouble, if you have a need, if you have a problem, you need to bring it to the attention of the church and to the elders and brethren to the point of confessing our sins to each other. Why? So that we can pray for each other. Because prayer makes a difference. James is not saying you should pray because it'll make you feel better. What I mean by that, yes, in bringing about healing, but James is not saying that you just need to pray because it's kind of like sending a card. It'll make you feel better. There's nothing wrong with sending cards. I'm the recipient of cards. I appreciate them greatly. But they don't have the same impact prayer does. They do say that someone's thinking about you, that someone cares about you, and you appreciate that. But prayer is bringing in the power of the Almighty God to assist us in whatever need we have. That is hugely different. Hugely different. When we pray, we are going before the throne of God, the Creator, the Almighty, who is in charge, and making petition, giving praise, making requests before God to make a difference in our lives, in our community, in our culture. We're going, it'll be last to leaders tonight. We're going to talk about Daniel 5 and 6. Encourage you to be back and encourage our young people. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the great names in history, one of the great leaders of the Babylonian Empire, controlled vast regions of territory, was extremely powerful. The book of Daniel is very explicit that Nebuchadnezzar had his power because God gave it to him. It's the same discussion that Paul will have in Romans 13. So, God not only is involved in our lives spiritually, but God is involved in our lives and our culture in a physical way. He brings about healing, governments rise and fall, all kinds of things happen around us because God is involved. So when we pray, we're asking God to make a difference. Now, the question I have for us as Christians, are we comfortable and do we believe that God really makes a difference in our lives? And it's really an important question, isn't it? Because intellectually we might, but deep down spiritually, do we believe God is involved? Because for lots of good-hearted people, and sometimes our theology, some water. Our theology a little bit has been that God will save us when this life is over, but here things are kind of set in motion, that there are laws of nature, and they're kind of set in motion, and that's the way things are. That is not the Christian perspective. That's not the biblical teaching. The biblical teaching is that God does make a difference in the lives of His people, and that we're not just people of prayer because it's a formality. We're not just people of prayer because it's like sending a card when there's not much else we can do. We pray. We pray through Jesus our Lord to the Father because God then answers prayer and makes a difference in our lives. Now, I say this because it's important for us to acknowledge. Does God answer every prayer the way we want it answered or the way we think we want it answered? Does He give us everything we ask for? No. No. Does that mean prayer is not effective? No. Garth Brooks had a hit song some years ago, and it was, "I thank God for unanswered prayers." Because had he gotten the prayer at a younger age he thought was the most important, he realized it wouldn't have been the best. Some might say, well, that's just a cop-out for Christians, that because if prayer's not always answered, how do we know that it's ever answered? Well, let's look back at a character, at an individual, at a man from the Old Testament that we've talked about quite a lot lately, and that is Joseph. As we look from our perspective on the life of Joseph, was Joseph a man blessed by God? I think there's no question that he was a man blessed by God. He was a man on whom God had His hand from probably before his birth. That God directed his life to use him to bring about God's will in great ways. Not only bring about God's will thousands of years in the future, but bring about God's deliverance in the time in which he lived, to prepare people for a famine and not only save the Egyptians, but to also save his own family. Everybody kind of with me on that? Remember, Joseph is sold as a slave and he goes into Egypt, and then he tells Pharaoh's dream and becomes second unto Pharaoh, becomes in charge of storing the food and then distributing that in the time of great plenty, in the time of great famine. But, as we've talked about before, in the pit, waiting on, are my brothers going to kill me, or what are they going to do with me? In the prison where Joseph is, do you think Joseph prayed some prayers that weren't answered the way Joseph thought they ought to be answered or wanted them to be answered? It's not recorded for us, but I'm pretty sure in the pit, I'm praying fervently. You know, get me out of here. I won't check on these birds ever again. You know, I'm not taking any information back. You know, get me out of this prison. And I don't know what his answer would have been then, because he was there for a righteous reason. That would have been a dilemma. But you know, he doesn't want to be there. And he's praying, but time goes, and it had to appear to Joseph that prayers weren't answered. Naomi, remember, leaves home, goes to Moab because of a famine and loses her husband and both of her sons. I'm confident Naomi was a woman of prayer. Naomi is so distressed that she says, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. Because God has dealt bitterly with me. But was God dealing bitterly with Naomi? God was working through Naomi's life to bring about Jesus via the great King David. The reason I say that is, in their place and at certain times in their lives, they had to feel like God's not answering prayer. This isn't going well. But when we look back in a different perspective, we found that God had not forsaken them at all. That God, in a very special way, was using them in their situation to bring about the greatest of goods. And so, God doesn't always answer our prayer immediately or the way we desire. But God is always mindful of his people. And God answers prayer. A great difficulty for us is to accept God's will, as Jesus did. When Jesus didn't get his prayer answered just like he'd like for it to have been, which was, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." As God's people, submitting ourselves to the will of God is of great difficulty. But James will tell us and will remind us that God does answer prayer, that he brings about healing of sickness, that he brings about forgiveness of sins, that things, situations are changed because of prayer. We look when the remnant comes back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah is a man of great prayer. He doesn't do anything without being prayerful about it, because he knows that prayer is powerful and effective. So as God's people today, we need to know and be committed and convinced that prayer makes a difference, and that we are serious about prayer and about what that means. I want to look at a passage from Matthew as we continue our thoughts. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." All right? Here's the situation. I got a son, and he has a demon. And I've come to the apostles, who are your apostles, who can cast out spirits and bring about healing, but they've not been effective in this situation. What's the deal? What's the situation? Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We've been called to be people of faith. To be people of faith. A mustard seed. I've never actually seen one, but I've been told it's the smallest of seeds. It actually grows into quite a large bush plant. But it's the smallest seed. If you had faith just the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to do great things. God calls us not only to pray, but to pray in faith. Do we as people of God believe in God's power and trust in Him and pray with faith? Pray believing. Because even the apostles had struggles in having faith, in believing. But God has called us to be faithful. People full of faith. Do we trust in God? Do we really believe God will make a difference? The reason I say that, I hope that we do, but I'm going to tell you my tendency, and it might be yours as well, is to try to handle everything I can, and then when I realize I can't handle it, I ask God to come in and help. Instead of God being my first place to go, He becomes my place of last resort, and maybe not the very last. Maybe I do better than that, I hope. But instead of trusting in God for everything and involving Him in everything and saying, Lord, I want to walk in your ways, and you got, I try to fix it, figure it out, work it all out, instead of trusting first in Him and realizing that God then can move anything, any obstacles, can make things change if we just ask. And doesn't James make a great point that Carl read for us? Because when I read the Bible, and I try, as you know, to not read it all whitewashed, and that's very difficult for me, to not read the Scripture all clean and sanitary. Now, what I mean by that, I'm not saying that the Scripture is ugly, but what I'm saying is I almost read about those individuals that lived 2,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 years ago, and I kind of put them up on a pedestal, and I kind of take situations and say, well, those are just unique. And I have to tell myself, these are real live people living in their time, suffering and struggling and prospering and being defeated just like we are. And James makes that point when he says, Elijah, who was a prophet, and he had power, but where did his power come from? It came from God. And James reminds us that when he prayed, what happened? It doesn't rain for 3 years. I got to be honest. I'm not Elijah. I hadn't prayed for it not to rain. That's very rare. I can't tell you in a hayfield I've never prayed that, but it's rare. But I've sure prayed for rain many times when it took a long time to get here. I'll just be honest with you. But the point is, Elijah was a human being, just like we are. Nothing special about Elijah other than the measure of the Spirit of God that he had. And he prayed faithfully, and it doesn't rain for 3 whole years. The point James is making is, just like Elijah was effective in prayer to God, you and I can be effective in prayer, and we need to remember that and never take that for granted. We had a sermon a few months back where we talked about Peter. Because when we think about walking on the water, who walked on the water? Jesus walked on the water, right? But so did Peter, who was a man just like you and me, walked on the water. We can be effective if we're people who are faithful. And we need to live that faith and express that faith. Because the world around us is going to have struggle if they don't have belief in an active God. Some folks are atheists, and I'm just using that as a term of description, who don't believe there is a God. But there's probably a larger group of people who are deist, who believe there is a God, but have real doubts about his activity in the world around us. That he is a spiritual being who maybe created the world and has set it in order and now has removed himself somewhere. Not sure where that is. And then there's some agnostics who just aren't sure either way. But lots of folks would fall into the category of being deist. And a deist would not believe in the effectiveness of prayer, because God has removed himself. But we're not called to be deists, we're called to be Christians, to be people of faith. And so we should live that in our lives, that we do believe that God makes a difference, and that we do pray for people, not because there's not anything else we can do, but because that's the most effective thing that we can do, is be prayerful to a God who makes a difference, to our God who is the Creator, who is Lord, and who is King. And it is so important that we give praise to God and acknowledge God when he answers prayers. And I think that's very often difficult, that we thank God for answering prayers. And sometimes it's very difficult in our personal experiences to share when God answers prayer. For most of us, our spiritual lives, we hold pretty close to the vest. It's hard to be really open about it. It even is for those of us who are preachers. I've shared this story with you, but it's been a while, and it was powerful, and I still remember it. Sitting in a group that spent a day together, kind of in a spiritual discussion of preachers and elders. And so at lunch, after we kind of gotten to know each other and kind of opened up some, the question was, what is God doing in your congregation? And the description before the question was asked was, you know, I'm not talking about all your program. I'm talking about, but spiritually, what give an example of God working in your church, in individuals, in your ministry, in something where God is answering prayer, where God is working. And the vast majority of the answers were about our vacation Bible schools and our gospel meetings that were coming up and the physical things, because sometimes it's hard for us to recognize God's answer to prayer, and it's hard for us to think about it. Not that God doesn't work in those, But is God making a difference? We have to acknowledge that and share that and give God thanks for that. Because if we do not, then we forget and we do not teach our children that God really does answer prayer and it makes a difference. We're a congregation that's seen prayer answered many, many times. Many times. We've prayed for folks who were sick and whose prognosis was dim, and who lived many, many, many years after that. We prayed for folks who had prognoses that weren't good, who were healed and still with us. And we should remember that and be thankful for that and acknowledge that, because Israel, in their monuments and in their feasts, what were they to do? Remember what God has done. Remember that your God has been active in your lives and in your history. That it was God who delivered you from slavery. Not the great man Moses. Moses was a servant of God who brought you out. It was God who provided for you in the wilderness. It was God who kept your clothes from wearing out and provided manna and quail. It was God who did these things. And for us, and for them to remember, and that's our spiritual heritage as well, that God is involved. And so prayer is effective. I want to close with one more point. We should be people who act in faith and who are people of prayer because we believe in its power. But we also have to be people of action, and that is biblical. When Jesus gives the scene of the judgment, the separating of the sheep and the goats, which is a powerful scene, the criteria explained to us that Jesus gives on this separation of sheep and goats is not that they were just people of prayer, but that they were people who did what? Put their lives of faith into action. Because Jesus doesn't say to those on your right, when I was naked and hungry and sick and in prison, you prayed for me. But when I was naked and hungry and in prison and sick, you clothed me, you fed me, you visited me, you cared for me. So we're not only people of prayer, but we are people who are serving others, who are meeting needs when we find it. When we see folks who need encouragement, who need care, whether that be physically or emotional or spiritual, that we are compassionate and that we move to action. Not that we just pray. Now, should we be prayerful for people? Absolutely. That's really kind of the point, isn't it? But we should realize that we're not just praying, but we are letting God use us to be of service. The main point of the parable of the Good Samaritan was who acted neighborly. We all understand that. But I want to remind us that the individuals who did not act neighborly in the parable were those who one would have expected to have been the most compassionate of the group, right? Folks who were going to serve at the temple, whose role it was to be priest and to serve God and the people at the temple. But they were involved in what they were doing and passed the guy by in need. Maybe out of fear, maybe even for some noble reason. You say, what possible noble reason could there have been? Well, possible noble reason was, I've got to go offer sacrifice. I'm not sure if this guy's dead or alive. If he's dead, I become unclean. I can't do my purposes. I can't serve at the altar of God, which is of extreme importance. We could make that same leap in our own minds about things. I get that. But here's a man on the side of the road who had been beaten up and was bloody and bruised and had nothing because it had been taken from him. He needed more than the sacrifice at the time. What did he need? He needed someone to clean him up, bind his wounds, get him something to drink, and give him a place to recuperate. And that's what the Samaritan did. That's what we've been called to do. So we're people of prayer because prayer is effective. Because prayer is effective. It is not our option of last resort. It should be our first option to go to God and say, God, I know you make a difference. Now, the world will find that difficult to believe. And we have to understand that. And so, my conversation with the world is not an argument about prayer and its effectiveness, but it would be sharing with them the truth about who God is. Because the wise man Solomon says that the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of God. The respect for God for who he is and what he's about and what he does. And if we don't understand who God is, there's no way that we can grasp what prayer is about. Because it is a conversation with this powerful God. So it's important that we know God. So we have to back up and say, this is who God is, this is what our God does, and we have the opportunity uniquely through Jesus our Lord to go openly and frequently and uninhibited before the throne of God and have the Creator, the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God hear us, love us, and be prepared to answer our prayer. And that as people of God, then he gives us the opportunity and the responsibility and the obligation to use the blessings that we have, the gifts, the opportunities, to see the needs of others and to be about meeting those because of our compassion for them. I'm going to tell you this, unashamedly and with all confidence, God is the only one who's going to fix our problems and answer our needs. God is the only one who's going to fix them. And that's not the opinion of the old preacher. That's Scripture. Because every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? It comes from God. God's word means something, and we need to hang our hats on it. That good things, the things that we need, come from God. And that's why it's imperative that we trust Him and that we serve Him and that we call on Him and that we're about His business, because it is God who cares for us. Jerusalem is going to suffer in the first century. They're going to suffer politically. They're going to suffer militarily. They're going to have spiritual crisis. And there's only one reason why. Because they didn't come to God and ask for His guidance and for His care. Because Jesus, in the saddest of ways, said, if you would just let me, I would protect you in a very vivid way. Like a hen protects her chicks, I would have cared for you, but you wouldn't let me. All of their problems were solved had they trusted more fully in God. The scripture will tell us that if God did not withhold His only Son, there is nothing that He'll keep from us. That only makes good sense, doesn't it? And God did give His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be part of His family and part of the kingdom. And that blessing, not only is that God answers our prayers and blesses us, but that God has provided a way for us to find forgiveness and to be heirs with Christ of eternal life. Jesus shed His blood on the cross, gave His life, that you and I might be forgiven, that we can pray and there can be forgiveness of sins, because He became the great sacrifice. If you're not a Christian today, you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus, you've never confessed Him as Lord, we'd encourage you to do that. If you are a Christian and you need us to pray for you as a group because you have a need, spiritual or physical, and you realize and know that the prayer of God's people is powerful and effective, we'd encourage you to come while we stand and sing.